We begin the current daf Masechet Erev and daf Yud Ches. We begin 7 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins discussing the Mishnah, again the first Mishnah of the second Perek Masechet Erev, Perek Oisin Pasen. That is, our Mishnah spoke about a special heter or kula that we don't find anywhere else. That as we make these pasi berois, you can make these pasen, these L-shaped mechitzes, which are basically an amma on either side. So it's, if let's say you put one on the southwest, it's going to have an amma on the south and amma on the west, and it's really like one pole, but it's an L shape, so it's going in either direction. You can do that on the four corners, and that's enough. Although in other areas we would never give such a kula, as the Gemara will elaborate. So our Gemara now tries figuring out who the Tana of our Mishnah is, and it says three different Tanoim, which would seem like that the Mishnah cannot be like them, and the Gemara ends up saying that it's not necessarily so. As the Gemara begins. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Hananya. The Tanya is written in the Brisa, which would seem to cite the opinion of Hananya, not like our Mishnah. The Brisa says, Eisen Pasen Labar. The Tanakama says you can make these boards for the pit, which seems to be the din of our Mishnah, that although Pasen, which again are boards which have certain leniencies and chesroinus that generally you don't have by other mechitzas, but regarding the bayres, the pits, that when the Eil Regalim come, those who come with pilgrimages, and they would need water, so they made these leniencies to make an area of Rosh Hashayacha that they can go ahead and take the water out for their animals to drink. So that's one thing. V'chayvalin l'shayara, and a different heter, a different leniency you could do is to do the ropes, which are for caravans. And that is, as we learned in the first parak of Tazayin Mabez, that one could surround an area when they're in the caravan, which is they're out in the wild and there's no place to create a Rosh Hashayacha, but they want to be able to carry on Shabbos where they are. So you could surround an area with three horizontal ropes within three tvachim of each other, which considers the whole area as if it's closed based on the concept of love. So therefore you have the first rope less than three tvachim going around the area, and then within three tvachim of that one, another one, and then another one within three tvachim of that one. You're going to be having an area, and the ropes are each other together with the thickness of all the ropes that equal a tefach, so that you have nine tvachim of closed areas because they're less than three tvachim, together with the area of a tefach and a mashu, and three mashus of the ropes, that creates an area of 10 tvachim. That's a special leniency. However, to make pasin, to make this heter of the boards for the caravans, that is what the Tanakhama is saying, that was not allowed. So although both the caravan and the pits of the those who would come up for the pilgrimages are leniencies, but whatever, we did not allow the leniency of the pasin for those who are in the caravans out in the wild, because by the case of the pasin, the boards, there's more breach than closed area. And that was only a heter that they made for the burials, for the pits, because of the animals, as we said, for those who would be oiler regular, as the Gemara later on will explain. So that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Mechananya says, Chavolin Labar, you can make the heter of the ropes for the pits, which again, the pits are the those who would come up to be Eile Regal. That is, he allows, just like the Shayara to have the ropes going around, so too you could do that for the Bayrois, that to go ahead and surround it with ropes with the three Tvachim of each other. However, Avaloi Pasen, but you cannot make the boards, which seems to be not like our Mishnah. So Chananya, Lachar is not talking about Mishnah, because our Mishnah says you could do this heter of the Pasen, the boards for the Bayrois. So though it's a very shvacha, very deficient type of a mechitza, because you're doing just four corners and the whole thing is open between the boards and up to 10 amas or 13 in the third according to different tanoim, but you only have an amma on one side, an amma on the other side, so you have two amas of clothes and you have the whole 10 amas open on either side, so that's definitely parts meru alayim, you have more breach than clothes, so therefore Chananya says you can't even do that even by the birois, even by the pits. So that the Gemara says, L'chor is not like our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Afil Tema Chananya. You could say the Tana of our Mishnah is Chananya. However, Bar L'chud, a pit is one thing, and that is a pit, is specifically, that's the terminology that Chananya spoke about, is when water is gathered. And the pit is basically, it collects from the rainwater or other water that runs off into that pit. Now that's the type of water that can stop because it doesn't have its own source of renewal. And therefore Chananya said that is aser, because sometimes the water is going to stop, and then the mechitzas will not have halachic status of walls anymore, because this whole heter of pasi berois, they're not true classic sense mechitzas that they're just always walls, because it's only a wall in regards in relation to this heter of the water for the animals. And therefore, when the water stops and it's not there anymore that supplies, so then we don't view this at all as mechitzas. And people are still going to be carrying over there. But that's not true because there's no more water. So therefore, he said by bayrais, which was the case of the braisa that Chananya said, that you cannot make pasen for the bayr, that is correct. That's what he says. A be'er l'chod, but a wellspring, that's something else. And that is when there is what's called mayim chayim, living water, where it has its own rejuvenation, its own renewal. Our Mishnah said you can make pasen libirais. It didn't say you can make pasen for bayrais. And that terminology is coming to teach her that it's only by Mayim Chaim, by wellspring, by a well of water, there is where it has its own renewal, it will never stop. Then, of course, Hanani would agree that you can make pasen because that is the hetter they created. But by a bar, that's where he argued and said that, no, there we didn't allow the pasen, we only allowed the chavalim because it might stop being a source of water because there's no more rain, and then people are still going to be carrying there, and there then we don't give it anymore the classification of mechitzes because it's only in relation to when there's water. And that the Gemara says, Ikadami, some say a different version of this debate if our Mishnah is like Hanani or not. From the fact that that Hananya did not say in the Braisa, Hananya Oimer, the Hananya says, Oisin Chavon Labar, that, wait a second, you can make the ropes for the pit, Upasin Labar, and yet, but you could make the boards for the well. In other words, he didn't make that contrast. He just said, no, you cannot make Pasin for the bar, you could only make Chavon, only make ropes for the bar. But if he held that there was a differentiation between a bar and a be'er, between a pit of gathered water and a be'er, a wellspring of its own water, then he should have said it. From the fact that he doesn't, obviously, he does not hold there's any difference between a pit and a well, and that is chavalanin, pas and loy, that only a rope is allowed, and the boards are not allowed, as the Gemara says, le masnitin, like chananya. So this other version was coming from a different version and showing that, no, you can't make this differentiation because he himself doesn't do that. If there was such a differentiation, why go and say that, you know, regarding these pits, the only way you could do it was with ropes? He should have said, wait a second, depends what? If it's a well, then you could even do it with the board. And he doesn't say that. Obviously, he's not like the Tanav HaMishnah. And I think when it says, no, you could say the Tanav HaMishnah is Chananya. Lamai de Kamer Tanakama, in reference to what the Tanakama was talking about, which the Tanakama was saying the bigger chiddush of saying that you could even make boards even for a bar, which is gathered water and not water that has its own wellspring, because the Tanakama does not hold there's any difference. On that, Kamahadali, that is what in reference Hanani was responding to him to, that he was saying, wait a second, bar, I disagree with you. But the fact that he didn't say, but be'er, yes, is because he wasn't coming to say his own opinion. He was responding to what the Tanakhama spoke about. On that, I disagree with you, but yes, Hanani would differentiate and say be'er would be permitted, and therefore he could be the Tan of HaMishnah, because HaMishnah says, you make pasen le'birois, it doesn't say le'birois, which would come to connote that be'erois is what it's permitted for, but be'erois not. Now the Gemara moves on to the next Tanah. Le masnitin de le'k Rebbe Kiva. Fine, so it's not necessarily that the Tan is not like Hanani, but let's say the Tan of HaMishnah is not like Rebbe Kiva. Tanan, as we learn in the Mishnah later on in this Masechta, says, Echad be'er ha'rabim, whether it be a well of the public, ubay ha'rabim, or even a pit of the public. And that is, even a pit of the public is going to be permitted, because even if the water runs out, which is a concern as we found in the opinion of Hananya, however, there the other people will remind each other and they won't come to carry over there. And that's why, even though it's a bar, it's a pit, which can run out, and then the mechitzas will not have their status as a wall anymore. But that's what Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Kiva is coming to teach, that if it's a bar of the rabbim, it's going to be permitted because they'll remind each other. Or be'er hayachad, or whether a well of an individual, where there the water never runs out, so there you have that qualification of it won't be a problem because it's a be'er. Then oislen pasen, then you make boards for these areas, again, because you'll never come to a concern that a person will be carrying over there when it won't have the halachic status of a wall when it runs out. Because when it's the public, they'll remind each other. And by the individual, we only let it when it's a be'er, when it doesn't run out. However, if it's a pit of an individual, then you have to make walls 10 tefachim high, divrei Rebbe Kiva. That's the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, because there, it could run out, and no one will remind him because he's an individual. To which the Gemara says that the question is, v'ilo hocha getana libirayis, whereas in our Mishnah, when we spoke about this peter, we spoke about that you can make pasen for birois, as we were medaik in the earlier Gemara, that means for wells. Libirois in libirois loy, that this heter only applies to wells, not to pits, and even if it was of a rabbim, of a public, where Rebbe Kiva's logic is that they'll remind each other, it doesn't make a difference. Obviously, it's not the town of our Mishnah, who says we only make this heter of pasen for birois, which are be'erois, which are wells, not for birois, not for pits. And Rebbe Kiva permits a pit if it's from the rabbim. Another Gemara says, Rebbe Kiva, you can say the time of Mishnah is Rebbe Kiva. Be'er ma'im chayim de psikalei, regarding a wellspring, where that's something that is concrete, that is loishno de rabbim, loishno de yoch, in that case is always permitted, whether of a public or whether of an individual, because that never ceases to be. And then that's always permitted in all cases. So katani, that case, the time of Mishnah taught, and that is even Rebbe Kiva could be the time of Mishnah, because he's teaching something that's concrete. However, but a pit that, of gathered water, which is not concrete, because there's a pit of the public, of the Ram, which does help, yet there's the pit of an individual that doesn't help. So that's why he didn't teach it. However, it's not a diik to say that, oh, it only speaks about birois, wells, and it doesn't say boiris. So obviously no boiris work, and that's not like Rabbi Kiva who allows a boir of the Rabbim. It's not true. He wanted to pick something definitive, concrete, which is the case of the Be'eris. Now we said, this Hedra, Pasim works for that. But regarding boiris, we didn't start wanting to differentiate between Abba Rabbim, Abba Yachid, that's why we didn't mention it, but it doesn't mean that there is no difference and that it wouldn't work for the boiris of the Rabbim, which it would, and that the time of Mishnah, it could be Rebbe Kiva. Now the Gemara moves on to the third Tana. Le'masnin the Lake of Yehuda ben Baba. Let's say the time of Mishnah is not like Yehuda ben Baba. The Tana, as you learn in the Mishnah, in that same Mishnah of Rebbe Kiva, that Rebbe Yehuda ben Baba Eimer, Ain oisin pasin, you're not allowed to make boards. Ela lebe'er harabim belvad. Only has to have both qualifications. Has to be a well and a well of the public. Yet ve'ilo hocha k'tani lebirois. But here in our Mishnah, when we say this heter, we say that you can make pasin for birois. It says in the plural wells, which is mashma that two. One type of well of the public and one type of a well of an individual. As the Gemara says, loishin of the rabim, loishin of the yachid. And that's not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because he says that it's only for the pet of the, only for the well of the Rabbim. And here in our Mishnah, it sounds like Biro'ois, all types of wells, individuals and public. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. You could say that he is the town of a Mishnah. My Biro'ois, what does it mean when it says the wells, which is plural, is Biro'ois Tama, means the wells in general. In other words, on all the wells of the world, which are public wells, because that's the only one we permit, those wells, are we allowed to make pasim? But it doesn't mean wells of specific, in other words, regards to different criteria. Rather, it means, which would include a rabbim and a yachid, rather, it's like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that it's talking about the wells of the general world, which include only the beirois of the rabbim. So the Gemara says, so ultimately, the Gemara says that really these three tanoim could be the tanoim of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks on a term that we said in our Mishnah, Maidi Yumdin. This that we spoke about, that you can make these pasin lebirois, which the Mishnah explained were arba di yumdin, these four double posts. What does that mean? What is the etymology of this word? So Amr Yumdin ben Elazar diyoy amudin. It's two posts. That's the contraction of the word diyumdin. Diyoy, which is two, amudin. That's what he said. It's like a double post. It's really two in one, that it has one going one direction, one other direction, as like an L bracket in the corner. Now the Gemara continues with this terminology of diyoy of two, and brings in a few statements related to that. And then it continues to all these different statements of Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, because he's quoted as saying something relating to diyoy. So once we say a Gadik statement from him, we continue with many different statements with him, many speaking about Adam Harishon. So the Gemara brings in the mnemonic for all the different statements. Diyoy, lemanuda, shevach, zaynis, niskalkal, bemida, shloisha, simen. That's a mnemonic to remember all the coming statements. So the Gemara begins. It's not awesome. We learned over there in the Mishnah at Demai. Yuda Omer, kol hashisen, all the shisen, which are low-grade quality types of figs, as the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Amud Beis explains, peturin, they're exempt from demai. And that is, since they're low quality, the amaratzim, the ignorant people, who they're the reasons why we created what's called demai. Because demai is something that we're not sure, did he take off mice or not, because he doesn't want to go ahead and lose a tenth of his produce. So that when we buy from an amaratz, from an ignorant person, that's not a talmud chacham, we have to go ahead and take off, out of doubt, another mice. That's what demai is. But since these are low quality, he's not so particular about it, and he'll take off mice. So therefore, these low grade types of figs, you're going to be potter from taking off meiser from this demai, because we say that he probably took off, because this is not something that he's going to be so particular about to keep for himself. Chutz min ha-diyofra, except for diyofra, because that, although that's from the same family, that is something that's chashiv. So the Gemara asks, my diyofra, what is this diyofra? Ama'ula, ilon ha'isa diyoy peris b'shan, again, similar to why we brought this in, because of the word of diyoy, of this two, it's a type of a tree that makes two, carries two different times during the year, and it has its fruit. So that's what's called diyofra, because it has diyoy peris, it has the fruits are harvested twice a year. So now the Gemara brings a statement from Omer Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, which will have many statements from him, but it brings it in because of relating to the same diyoy, this duality. Diyoy parts of panim hoyu loy l'Adam HaRishon. There was a two-figured face that Adam HaRishon, the first man, was created with. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, can tell him, Ocher v'kedem tzartani, back and front you formed me. That is, from the back and the front, you created for me a form that is, I had a face both in the front and in the back. That other Marishan was an androgynous being. On the one side, he was a male, and the other side, he was a female. So Gemara quotes a whole machlokes in this Gemara, continuing on to Amud Beis, which has a sister sugya Masechtas Brachos, which speaks about the same type of this machlokes regarding what was Adam HaRishon when he was created. And that the Gemara begins. So it says in the pasuk in Bereishis, "V'yivin Hashem alekim esed tzeilu b'goyim," that Hashem, the God, built the side. And that is, according to both interpretations of the Gemara of Rav and Shmuel, this word tzeila doesn't mean a rib. It means the side, as it says in Shemois Chavav, Uletzela HaMishkan Hashenis, that on the other, the second side of the Mishkan, Tzela means the side. So it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut open up an Adam HaRishon, and then he went and took the Tzela, the side of Adam HaRishon, and made Chava out of that. So Rav and Shmuel, what was the side of Adam that Chava came from? Chadam HaPatzav, one says it was an actual form. That is, Adam HaRishon, as we said, was an androgynous being, and then he split him into two. This side was male, this side was female, and that's what it means that he built the tzeila, that he went and took off that half and made a separate person out of that. B'chadam HaZanav, and one says that it was a tail, and that is, Adam HaRishon had an appendage, and from that was what Chava was created from. And as the Maral explains, it doesn't mean actual literary tail, as we would think a tail, because tail could take many forms. It means that she was an appendage, she was a tuffle to Adam HaRishon, a way, a support for what the man is. That's what the purpose of the woman was. So there is either that she was a partzav, a full-fledged separate entity, just connected to the back of Adam HaRishon, or that she was a tail, and that's what was taken off, and made Chava was made out of that. So the Gemara goes through a whole elaborate process explaining each opinion, how it fits into the Pesukim. So we can understand according to the opinion that says that there was an actual form of Chava on the other side of Adam. That explains what we just quoted the pasuk before, that Adam HaRishon says that I was created back and forward. In other words, I had a front and a back. I had a male and female. But according to one that says that she was just a tail, my Ochav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it mean that I was formed front and back, which is mashma, that there were two tzurois, that there was Ochav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there was no two tzurois. It was regular person, one tzura in the front, and he had a tail in the back. And that the Gemara says, Kedir Abami. What that pasuk means is, like Rabami says, the Amr Abami, Ochav Lamaisa Vereishas, it means that I was created Ocher v'kedem, is that I was the last one to be created. V'kadem l'peranis, but the first one to be punished, as the Gemara explains. Bishlem Ocher l'maisa v'reishas, it's very well understood what it means that Adam was the last one to be created. D'lo ivriad mali Shabbos, he was only created till Erev Shabbos on Friday, he was the last thing to be created. Ela v'kadem l'peranis, mai, but the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean he was the first one to be punished? And then the Gemara says, ilei mishum klala, if you mean regarding the curse, that is the curse when Adam HaRishon and the whole world got after the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's not true. First, the snake was cursed. And then Chava was cursed. And only at the end, Adam was cursed. As the Gemara in Brachas says, that you started klala from the lowest. So what does it mean that kedem means kedem leperani is the first to be cursed? But he wasn't. He was the last one to be cursed. Ella mabel. Rather, the reference is to the punishment of the mabel of the flood. So, like it says in the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, but yimach es kol hayakum asher al panei adam, that Hashem erased everything that was living on the face of the earth. From man until the animal, where it mentions man first before the animals regarding the punishment. So therefore, we see that it was kedem, although he was acher l'maaseh bereishis, the last one to be created, he was the first one to be punished because he is the prime reason of the world. So therefore, he was put into the world after it was already set up for him. But when it comes time to destroying it, he's the first one to get the punishment. Now the Gemara continues. Bishlam amandam parts of, according to the one that says that again, there was two forms, male, female, front and back. Haynach se vayitzer. That explains why it says, when it says regarding the formation of Adam, it says that he formed him, trei yudin, has two yuds, which is mashma, two tzurais. It's like wants to give a double connotation. Vayitzer, there was two formations, one male, one female. According to one that says it was just a tail, again, it was just a man and an appendage. So what does it mean that he formed it with two yuds? What's the connotation? There wasn't two yitziris, it was just one. Another thing where it says, Kedib Shimon ben Pazi. The two yuds are coming to say the word yetzer two times, but not because there was two tzurais, but because there was two yetzers, which is oily mi yitzri. Woe to me from my inclination, which torments me if I'm going to do the will of my Creator, and oily mi yitzri. Woe to me from my Creator, that if I do the will of my inclination, so I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place here. If I do Ratzon Hashem, I have the Yitzhar driving me crazy. If I do the Yitzhar, I have Hashem on my case, so to speak. So So therefore, that's where the two yitz is to say oylemi yitzri, oylemi yitzri. So the Gemara continues. Bishlam adam apartzav. So it's very well understood according to the one that says that there was two forms. That makes very much well sense when it says in the pasuk that Hashem created them male and female, which is mashma that in the beginning of when He created them they were male female, male on one side and female on the other side. But according to one that says that it was just a tail, what does it mean that He created them male and female? He didn't create them male and female. He created Adam, and from Adam He went and took and made a female out of that tail. Another thing, says, look at Rabbi Avo Rami, because Rabbi Avo really said it's a contradiction. On the one hand, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Zach and the Kev Abraham, like we just quoted, that He created a male female. Uksiv, yet it says another Pasuk in Bereishis, that B'tzelem Elikim Bara Oisai, that in the image of God, He created him, which is Mashma, that only created one entity, which was one man, and from the man, He made a female, because only one, He didn't make them in the image of God, only him. So on that, and the Rebbe Vohu responds, B'tchila also b'machshava libarishnaim, that initially it entered Hashem's thought process, so to speak, to create two entities. Well, b'saif l'niv ela echad, but at the end He only created one. That's again the unity of the soul of the male and female. It really, in sense, it was wanted to make two, but the way a perfection of the two was to make it one. So that's the resolution of that he made the male female again, which is the machshava, which is a gebriah in itself. In the thought process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately only made it in the Olam HaMaisa, in the actual world, the physical reality world, He made him only one, Oisai, so that's the resolution. And therefore that explains also that it really wasn't a male or female androgynous being. Zach in the Cave of Barim only means in his Machshava, but in practice it was only one person, with, according to that Mandama, meant with a tail. The Gemara continues, Bishlam Mandama parts of very well understood according to the one that says there was two forms. This is what it says in the Pasuk. That after Hashem did this operation, that He split Adam and Rishon in half, took off Chava from one side and Adam on the other side. So that's what I mean. They had to fill in flesh into place. That means there was a whole separate person that was taken away and they had to fill it in with something else, which was the back of Adam now. According to one that says there was a tail, what does it mean that He had to block it with flesh into place? He didn't have to add anything. He just took off something. It wasn't like Chav, which was a whole part of Him, that now He had to fill in with something else. But the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Zvid, V'yitem Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'yitem Rabbi Nachman ben Yitzchak, L'nitzucha el l'makom chatach. You're right, it's only for the actual place of the surgery. Where it was cut off, that place, that tail, whatever it is, had to be filled in. That's what it is, but not because it was a tzura, but just even though it was a tail. Now the Gemara goes the other way. Bishlamandum ezanav, very well understood according to the one that says there was a tail. Now we can understand when it says that after Hashem did this operation, took the tzela out of Adam, that it says that then Hashem built it. It mashma that it was lacking building. You had to create something out of it, which, yeah, you had just a tail, whatever this appendage looked like. It didn't have to be like a tail of an animal. But whatever it is, Hashem had to make a form out of it into a woman. But according to one that says there was a form, what does it mean that Hashem built it? She was already built. She was a complete being just attached on the back to Adam. And that the Gemara says, look at the B'Menasya. The Darash of B'Menasya. It says, Vayivin Hashem Elikim Esetzel, that Hashem, the God, built this side. So what does it mean, building? Especially according to this Mandama, there was nothing to build. Malamet Shekila HaKadosh Baruch L'Chava. This comes to teach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair. V'Hevil Adam Rishon, and He brought her all dressed up, all braided, to Adam Rishon. Shekim B'Krach HaYam, Karen L'Kliyasa B'Niyasa, as we find, and that's all the languages are all there, find their root source in Lashon HaKadosh, and therefore we can bring proofs from other languages, that we call a braider in the cities by the sea, they call it B'Niyasa, a builder. So therefore we find that there's an understanding of building with braiding here. And therefore, when it says that He built Chava, of course He didn't have to make her because she was already made, just attached to the back of Adam. But rather it means that He braided her hair and beautified her to bring her to Adam and Rishon in their union. And therefore, that's what it says, Vayivan, but not that He actually had to build her. Tabach, another pshat to resolve what is this building. Vayivan Hashem Alekim, Amr Rav Chizdav, Amri Labbe Masnitan, some say it was actually in the Braisa. Melamet Shebeno HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. It comes to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu built Chava. In other words, He formed her, although she was already an entity. Kibinyan, as we continue on to the Amud Beis, Oitzer, as the structure of a storehouse. What does that mean? Ma Oitzer Zeroch Milmata V'Katz Milmala, just like this storehouse, is very wide on the bottom and narrow on the top. And why? K'deila Kabbalah Sapeh, so it could contain all the produce. That is, if you made it wide on the top and narrow on the bottom, so when you would fill it up, it would weigh down on the walls on the bottom and make it cave in. So there has to be the other structure, like a trapezoid, that would be wide on the bottom and narrow on the top. Afaisha, so to the woman. Rechava milmata, she had to be wide on the bottom, and that is regarding the cavity of her womb. It is wider on the bottom. Katsar milmala, narrow on the top. Kadila kabal zavar, also to be able to contain the child that's weighing down. If it was the other way around, it would destroy the abdominal walls. It would be the cavity, the womb, the kaisli harechem, like it's called. It would weigh down in it. And therefore, she had to be the structure of a beis ha'itzer. That means that he built her. That means he formed her in that shape. As although before when she was an Adam, possibly she was the same shape as Adam, but when she became this woman, to be able to have this process now of this separation of male and female, that is what it means. Hashem built her to be like that. So Gemara continues exploring those psukim over there. It says, Ve'yivi'el, Adam. It says that this, when he built her, Hashem brought her to Adam, all beautified and all braided. So Malamed, this comes to teach you, Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shushbinus L'Adam Rishon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved with Adam Rishon, that he was involved in getting him married, making him happy, taking care of all the whole meal of the chuppah, of the chasna, because that's what it means. When he braided Chava, he brought her to Adam Rishon. Mikan, this teaches you, L'Gadol, for a greater person, Sha'asa Shushbinus L'Kadosh, he can get involved in all the mundane activities of helping a chasen, Vayerla, and it shouldn't concern him that it's below his, beneath his dignity. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu here, like it says in the brachas of the Sheva brachas, Kesamecha Yitzircha Beganeden, your Creator made you happy. He was taking care of you. He was taking care of the band and the music, whatever it was. So therefore, it's teaching you, no matter how great you are, you could do shishbinis. You could be involved trying to help out a chasen, even though he's much lower level than you. So now the Gemara resumes discussing this machlekes between the partzif and the zan of what was Adam Rishon like before he was separated. So the Gemara says, Ulaman Dama Paratzav, according to one that says that it was two sides. One side was Adam, one side was Chava. So Haimanai Sagabiresha, sounds like a technical question, but who went forward? Who was the one that was walking in front and the other one went behind him? And that the Gemara says, Amav Nachma Yitzchak, Mistabri, it would make sense to say, Zachar Sagabiresha, that the male side, which was Adam, that side went first and that the female followed behind. The Tanya is Lutna Braisa. A person should not go behind a woman on the road. And even if it's his wife, which is that, therefore, he couldn't be walking behind her. Therefore, it had to be that he was walking forward and she was walking behind him, because it's not proper for a man to be walking behind a woman, even if it's his own wife. So the Braisa continues, Nizdam Nala Geshev, let's say he's on a bridge, which is very narrow, and it happens to be that the woman is walking in front of him. What should he do? He should pass her on the side until he can get in front of her, because he shouldn't be walking behind the woman. And the Braisa concludes and says, whoever walks behind the woman in the river, where she has to pick up her garments because of the water of the river, and therefore he looks at her flesh, and as Rashi says, we're talking about a married woman, doesn't have a portion of the world to come. And Tyson Bracha says that means someone that continuously does this, because he's going to obviously come to improper things because of what he's exposing himself to. And therefore, a person should never be walking behind a woman, and definitely not in the river, which is going to be seeing exposed flesh. So the Gemara continues on this topic about the Isra of Estaklis, of gazing improperly at women. Turn around, we learned in the Braisa. Hamaratza mo'is le'isha. If someone counts out money to a woman, miyada liyada, from his hand to her hand, or miyada liyada, or from her hand to his hand, b'shvil she yistakalba, so they can look at her, taking time till he counts out the money, till she counts it out. I feel a daima la Moshe Rabbeinu, she kibbut Torah mehasinai, even if he's equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is mekabel Torah from Har Sinai, le'yinakam edin shel Gehenim, he will not be spared from the judgment of Gehenim. V'alav ha'kasavayim, and this is what the Pasuk initially talks about, when it says, yad li yad, hand to hand, which is reference to what we're talking about. If someone counts out from one hand to the other hand, then even if he's like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is Mekabel Torah from Hashem's hand, so to speak, to his hand, lo yinakera, he will not be spared from evil, which means lo yinakera medina shel Gehenim, he will not be spared from the judgment of Gehenim. Again, that's what Ra is, and that's because of this Isser of Histaklis. So on this topic again about walking behind a woman, the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Menoich HaMa'aretzayah, Menoich, who's a personality mentioned in Tanakh, he was an ignorant person because he didn't even learn the halachas of Derech Eretz of our Mishnah, as we learned in the Braisa, so that a person should not be walking behind a woman. And that is Shenem, like it says the Pasuk in Shaftim, Vayokom Vayelech Menoich Achrayishti, that Menoich got up and he went behind his wife. So obviously he was an ignorant person. He didn't know the halacha that's mentioned, as we just quoted before in the Braisa. Avet Gemara says, Maskev Lorav Nachem Beyitzcha. Wait a second. Ilumeati Gabel Kana. So in reference to Elkana, that he was a prophet, as it learned in the Braisa of Seder Olam, that it says in the Pasuk, Vayovai Yishu Elikim El Eli, And the Braisa there says that was Elkanah. And there were 10 prophets that were called Ishelekim, and he's one of them. And you cannot say that he was Amoritz, ignorant person. Yet by him, the Chassidus says in the Pasuk, V'yelech Elkanah achri ishtoi. The Elkanah went behind his wife. Hachinami, you're going to say it means that he was walking behind his wife literally, which is over on this halacha, the Braisa, definitely he knew and followed. And some of the Gabbai Elisha, the great prophet Elisha, the Chassidus that says the Pasuk in Malachim Beis, V'yokam v'yelech achri, he got up, he went behind the woman. Hachinami here also, it means he actually went behind her. Obviously not. It means he followed her advice and her words. Here too, you have no proof that Manoach was Amoritz, because it means when it says he followed after his wife, it means he followed after her words and her advice. So I'm Ravashi, but Ravashi comments, he says, Ulamai da'omer Rav Nachman. This regarding the Rav Nachman said that when it meant that he went Achri Ishta after his wife, it literally meant after her in the physical sense, that he was walking behind her. So Manoach Amoritz, so we said that he was an ignorant person. Afila Beirav, that means even the psukim of Chumash that little children learn in Cheder, Namar Lekar, that means he didn't even learn that. Not only didn't he know a Braisa or a Mishnah, he didn't even know Pasuk Chumash. Except like it says a Pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. It says, V'atakim Rivka v'narasa, that Rivka and her maidens got up, V'atrugavna al-gamalam, and they were riding on the donkeys, V'atilachna achreish, and they were riding behind the man, which teaches you v'loy lifnei ha'ish, a very simple understanding of the Pesuk Gemara, that they were running behind the man, not in front of the man, which teaches that very basic lesson. The woman should not be in the front and the man behind her, gazing at her. Rather, she should be behind. So therefore, if he actually went behind his wife, not only didn't he know the Tanoim, he didn't know even the Pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara says, lahalacha, regarding this, what we were speaking about, Amar B'yechna, achri ari, a person should rather go behind the lion, v'loy achri isha, and not behind a woman, and that is behind a married woman. Achri isha, v'loy achri avodas kechavim, behind a woman, and not behind idols. And that is because he might be drawn after it. If he's constantly gazing at that because he's looking what's in front of him, he's going to see these idols. It says a pasuk that harchik me'alei derechecha, you should distance yourself from its road. And as the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, that's regarding apikorsis and meanness of Avodah Zarah. Don't be following after, because then you might be drawn after your eyes. And achri avodas kechavim, a person should rather go behind idols, v'loy achri besakneses b'shal shem esbalan, but not behind a shul at the time when they're davening, because that looks like you're a kaifer, as if you're denying, because you're standing behind it and you're not entering. That is the worst of them all, because that looks like your total denial of that whose name is in the Beis HaKnesses. However, as the Gemara Brachas explains, it depends on the circumstance, that if it's not obvious because there's two entrances or two shuls, or you're carrying something, or you're wearing tefillin, those would be exceptions. But if not, you'd rather go behind the lion or behind the idol, behind the woman, than go over there, because that seems like the biggest denial in the God of whose house that this rests. Now the Gemara continues with other statements from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar that we had quoted from before. The Amar Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, and this again is also in reference to Adam Rishon, which we were speaking about till now. Kol ois nashanim, all those years, shahaya Adam Rishon benida, that he was excommunicated for 130 years, he was sitting in Cheirim. That is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at him, as it said in the Pasuk, Hamina Eitz, did you eat from the tree? And he cursed him. And it's interesting that the two-letter root of the word Klala, Kof Lamed, is 130. So for 130 years, the curse put him in Nidui. Hoylid Ruchin, he gave birth to spirits, Meshadin and demons, Velilin and Lilis, which are all different types of Mazikin, of destroying types of spiritual beings. Shneim, like it says in the Pasuk, Vayechi Adam Shleishim Ashan, that Adam lived 130 years, Vayele Bid Musa Katsalma, and then he gave birth in his form and in his shape, right? And that there's the curse of the Eitz Hadas happened the day that he was created. 130 years later, then he gave birth in his form and in shape. Mechlal is inferred, the Ari Idna, Lav Katsalma earlier. That means up until now, he did not give birth in his form. But what does that mean? But he gave birth not in his form, which are that it didn't have the Tzura, but had... It didn't have his form, in other words, in regards to the way the Adam looked, but what it was these spirits that had that had the actual the soul part, in a sense, but it didn't have the physical dimension of it. It was lacking Kitsalmoy of the Tzelem Elikim. And that thing I'm going to ask, Meisvei, it seems to be not like that. We learned in the Braisa, Yirmei said, Adam Rishon Chasid Gadol Hoy. Adam Rishon was a very pious individual. Kibin Shirah Sheniknes Misa Yodeh, once he saw that there was a decree, this penalty of death that was brought to the world because of him, Yashabatinus Meyu Shleshim Shana, he sat in a fast 130 years. Uperish Mene Isha Meyu Shleshim Shana, he separated from his wife for 130 years. Behela Zerzi Te'enim Al Basari Meyu Shleshim Shana, and he put on himself belts of fig branches for 130 years. So therefore, how could it be that he gave birth to all these different types of demonic, different births of these spirits? If he separated from his wife for 130 years, he wasn't involved in any relations. That the Gemara says, Ki Karmin, when did we say that he gave birth to these spirits? That was a seminal emissions that he had against his will. That is, sometimes if a person jumps or eats certain things, these cause seminal emissions to come out of his body. These were what produced these demonic types of spirits. These are mazik, and these are destroyers, which come when a person is moitzi zera levatala, and he emits semen. So here it was bloinze. He was a great pious person, but sometimes it could just be caused by certain foods or different things. From those things, in a state of nidoy, these cause these demons, these shaden and these ruchin and these lilin to come. But yes, he did separate from his wife for 130 years. The Gemara continues. Another statement from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. Mikta shvachis al adam oimer mefanam. Part of a person's praise you say in front of him, but v'kulei shalei b'fanam, and only not in front of him do you say all his praise. And that is, it's derech eretz, that even if a person's praising his friend when it's not there, he praises him a lot, but you shouldn't talk about his praise so much in front of him, because then that looks like what's called chanifa, like flattery, and it's not proper conduct to do that in front of somebody as if you're trying to flatter him in front of him. So therefore, in front of him, you don't say all his praise. When he's not there, then you say all his praise, as the Gemara proves. Mikzot shvachim b'fanav, how do we find that you say only part of the person's praise in front of him? Like it says the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, that Hashem told Noach, ki oischa re'isi tzadik l'fanav b'arder hazeh, because you I saw a tzadik, a righteous person, in front of me in this generation. So we see that it says just the term tzadik. However, kulei shalei b'fanav, all of a person's praise you say when he's not there. It says in the pasuk, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayu b'dereisav, that Noach was a righteous person, a complete person that was in his generation. That here we find that he calls him tzadik tamim, an added terminology of tam that we don't find that he said to Noach himself, which again proves this point that when you're talking to the person in front of him, then you say mikta shvach, only part of his praise. When he's not there, then you could say his whole entire praise. Another statement from the same Amayiv, Amar Birman Elazar, Maidach said, what does this mean in the pasuk over there by Noach in the Teva? It says, Vehine Ali Zayis Tarf Befia, that it says that there was an olive leaf that was snatched in the mouth of the dove. That is when Noach was trying to see if the water had ceased. He sent out the dove and it came back with an olive leaf, showing that there was already vegetation, the world was already drying up. So what was the message that the dove was coming with the olive leaf? So Amar Yoin Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the message the Yoin was telling in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Yiyu Mezoinaisai Meruin Kizayis U'Misrim B'Yadecha, let my food be as bitter as olives, but given over to you, God. V'Yiyu Mesukin Kedvash V'Tulim B'Yad Basav Adam. And rather, and it's better than having my food sweet as honey, but dependent on flesh and blood, which obviously was a reference to Noach, that for all this time, that the dove had to get its food from Noach. He said, I'm happy, Hashem, I want to get it just from you, even if it's as bitter as the olives. And that was the message of Taraf Befia, that meant to say Befia, with its mouth, the dove beseeched, and that's why it was in his mouth, it was requesting that let its food, which is the word of Taraf, which is that the Taraf means food, let it be as bitter as the olive. And as the Gemara proves, that the word Taraf means food. Ksiv hacha taraf. Here it says taraf befiyah. Ksiv hasam. It says over there in the pasuk, hatrifeni lechem chukai, that feed me the portion of my bread. So therefore, we find the same idea that taraf means food, feeding, and that's the idea of taraf befiyah. With its mouth, it beseeched and requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let my taraf, let my food be ali zayis, as bitter as the olives, and better than all this time that I was in the teva and had to be fed by Adam Arishan. Another statement from the same Amor of Amir Ben Elazar, called Bayish and Ishmon by Divri Torah Balayla, any house where the words of Torah are heard and resonate in that house at nighttime, Shuv Eini Nechav, that house will never be destroyed. Shanem, like it says a pasuk in Eve, V'le Omer Ayah Elikai, and he did not say, where is my God, which means to say he didn't have to bemoan and say, oh, what I do, where's the one who made me that everything is not good? Who are those people? I say, Naisen's Mirs Balayla, those who make and they give song by nighttime. And that is someone that does the Zemer, Shal Torah. Torah is called a Shir, it's called a Zemer. That those who sing the words of Torah at nighttime, they will not be bemoaning their state of desolation because their house will not be destroyed. And Rashi is the reason why it says that who learns at nighttime at his house, because that's the time when his voice can be heard very far. Nighttime, the sound travels further. And that's the idea at nighttime when it resonates. That's why it says that if he learns Torah by night, his house will not be destroyed anymore. Another statement from the same Amor, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And what happened then? Then the Kahanim ceased from making brachas, their blessings, which they only did in the Beis HaMikdash, with the Shem HaMafarish, with the ineffable name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says in Masech Chagiga and Perek Ein Dershin, that they used to make the brachas with the Shem HaMafarish. So then from that day on, Da'ili Oilam, it's enough for the world to function and run with the utilization of only two letters out of the four letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to bench or to bless your friend, people only use two letters. So then like it says in Pasuk in Tehillim, Kol HaNeshama Tahalka Haluka, that every soul will praise Ka, God, Haluka, praiseworthy be God. Which that the message is saying that this name, the name of Ka, that's only two letters, that every neshama is fit to bless with, which is inferring that the Shem HaMafayrish of the four letters of Yud Kei and then of Vav Kei, that not every neshama is given over to. That's only the Kahanim. It says in the pasuk in Devarim Yud Ulevarach Bishmai, that was given to the Kahanim, and it says in pasuk in Bamidbar Vav Vesamu Eshemi, that they should place my name, which is my name is designated just for me. That's an ineffable name. That was only for the Kahanim. But Kol Neshama is only Ka, is only the two letters of Yud Kei, but not with the Vav Kei. The Gemara continues again from the same Amar of Amar Bir Ben Lazar Niskalu LaBavel, when Bavel was cursed. Then Niskalu Shchina, its neighbors were also cursed from the same curse. Niskalu Shomron, when Shomron, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, that was cursed. Nisbarchu Shchina, then her neighbors were blessed from Shomron's curse, as the Gemara explains. Niskalu Bavel, Niskalu Shchina, as we find that when Bavel was cursed, then its neighbors were also cursed. Except like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, V'samtia L'moirish Kippur, that I made Bavel for an inheritance of wild birds, Vagmimayim, and pools of water, which comes to teach that that's where all the wild animals would go, and they would destroy and make the whole area desolate, whatever was near it, which is the concept, the fundamental principle of Oy l'rasha, Oy l'shcheinah, woe to the evil person, and woe to his neighbors too. However, Niskal l'shem ra'in is Bach l'shcheinah, but Eretz Yisrael, that when it was cursed, then her neighbors were blessed, like it says a pasuk in Micha, V'samti Shemron le'iyah, so that I made Shemron for the pile of the field. And we continue on to the top of your testament, Aleph, L'matoy karm, to the plantations of the vineyards, which that was that the neighbors were Nana, they enjoyed that, and that's a praise for Eretz Yisrael, that it's remembered for the good, although it was destroyed, but everyone enjoyed its what was left over from that. That's the idea of that for a tzaddik, then the neighbors get good, but Oy l'rasha, by Bavel, then Oy l'shcheinah.